Hey there, true believers, and welcome to the latest episode of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I am one of the two hosts, Billy, and with me as always is the other host, Dave.
Hey, guys.
And we are here to talk about comics that are coming out the week of April 23rd, Wednesday, April 23rd. We're going to be previewing some comics that are hitting your stores that day, and we're also going to look back on some comics that we read last week that we liked a lot, or maybe that we just thought were so-so. So that's your buy these comics, avoid these comics segment. And then we will have some, we have a couple other topics that we want to run by YouTube. I'm going to save those till later in the show. So let's start off with comics coming out this week. Dave, what, if you're only buying one comic this week, what's it going to be?
Justice League United number zero.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm a little surprised that this is coming out before the end of Forever Evil.
Yeah, well, I mean, Forever Evil was pushed back, so if everything went to schedule, I don't think it would be coming out, you know, before Forever Evil 7.
Right.
Nonetheless, it's written by Jeff Lemire, art by Mike McCone.
I love that.
Got an awesome lineup of characters. Got Adam Strange, Martian Manhunter, Stargirl, Hawkman, Animal Man. I can't wait to read it.
On the cover, do you know who the girl is in between Stargirl and Green Arrow? Is that the female Dr. Light?
No, that is a new character that Jeff Lemire created. She is a Canadian character. This book will be set in Canada, where Jeff Lemire is from.
The working title on this was Justice League Canada, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that... It started as a joke between Jeff Lemire and Dan DiDio, and and they were saying it's going to be called Justice League Canada, but Justice League United sounds way better.
I wonder if that wasn't a joke, only because the Canadian maple leaf is in the cutout of the D on the cover.
Yeah, well, it's in a rural spot in Canada, so I guess you're going to find out why and all that kind of stuff. And she is a Native American. I forget what there's a term.
I believe the term is Native Canadian.
that is not it. But her name's Equinox, and she sounds like an interesting character.
She sounds like she stole her name from a Marvel villain from the 1970s. The guy who was half Human Torch, half Iceman. Who, as a kid, I thought was so cool. He's half Human Torch, half Iceman.
Wow. Well, I think she might be a little cooler.
I don't know. This guy was half very cool and half very hot.
Okay, moving on.
Now, if I'm buying one comic this week, it is Evan Dorkin's Eltingville Club number one from Dark Horse. I'm a huge Evan Dorkin fan. I love Milk and Cheese. I loved his comic Dork, which was a collection of strips, an anthology of strips that would come out on a semi-regular basis in the 90s and the 2000s. The Eltingville Club are a group of comic book nerds who just epitomize the worst of like every comic book collector. And they're the Eltingville Comic Book, Science Fiction, Fantasy, Horror, and Role-Playing Club, and they're named after the part of Staten Island where they live. Evan Dorkin's Eltingville tales are usually very, very funny, and this, I believe, is all new material and might be the actual end of the Eltingville Club for good, so I can't wait for this. Evan Dorkin doesn't come out with material where he's both the writer and the artist often enough for me, so I'm very, very excited for this.
Wow, that sounds really cool.
Yeah, he's a very, very funny comic book writer, and he also wrote he and his girlfriend Sarah Dyer wrote episodes of Superman the Animated Series, they created the character Livewire. Was that a character from Superman the Animated?
Yes.
Yeah, they created her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, also coming out this week is the new issue of The Walking Dead, which is the final part of the 12-part all-out war.
Oh, wow. With Negan?
Yes. And the last page of the last issue ended on a huge cliffhanger that I ended up just reading this past week and kind of avoiding social media about all things Walking Dead so it wouldn't be spoiled for me. I'm not going to spoil it here, but it was really huge. And all that, where it looks like it's going to end with a bang.
I'm also looking forward to putting the last piece in the puzzle of the First Contact crossover, the Batman Superman World's Finest crossover that ended 2 months ago, but the third part's coming out now.
Yeah.
The great thing about it is that it's going to have amazing Jay Lee artwork, so I am actually looking forward to reading it.
And since part three of a four-part story is usually like the Act Two crisis, when this ends on a terrible cliffhanger, you know that everything has already worked out in the end.
Right, yeah. My stomach will be at ease.
And I see here that Flash number 30 is coming out. This is supposed to have the first appearance of Wally West in it, right?
Right, right. And this is the first part of the new creative team jumping on the Flash. They had a bunch of fill-ins in between when Francis Manapul and Brian Buccellato left. Actually, Brian Buccellato wrote a couple issues after that, but then I think there was like an issue or to fill in, and this will be the first new creative team. It's Robert Venditti or Venditti?
Yeah, I think it's Venditti.
Venditti.
He's current writer Green Lantern.
Yes, and he's written Demon Knights, Green Lantern. He's written a bunch in the DC Universe over the past couple months, but he's a very good writer. The art is being done by...
Brett Booth and Norm Ratmond.
Oh, yeah. I'm so-so on Brett Booth.
I'm so-so on Brett Booth, too, but his art is very kinetic, so I think he'd be a good fit for The Flash.
I agree. I think it might suit the series very well.
Yeah. This issue also takes place after the events of Forever Evil.
Yeah, come on, Forever Evil, finish!
Yeah, we got basically another month until we see the end of Forever Evil, but we're going to see the aftermath issues all across the next month. But I guess DC is fine with jumping to the future since their next big crossover is 5 years later, or, you know, Future's End.
Yes, yes. Set 5 years later.
Right.
And another interesting comic from DC is Secret Origins number one. It'll be telling the secret origins that aren't so secret of Superman, Robin, and Supergirl.
I saw that. That is... written by Tony Bedard and Kyle Higgins, but I see Greg Pak is also on there. I wonder if he's going to be writing the Superman origin since he's writing Superman Batman.
Yeah, and I'm sure Kyle Higgins is doing Robin and, you know. But it's a $4.99 price point, which is hefty for stories you kind of already know.
That's true. It is kind of hefty, but I think it's going to be an oversized issue, right?
Probably. I wonder if they're all going to be that oversized.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder that as well. I guess we'll find that out next month.
Yes, we shall.
Over at Marvel, we have Superior Spider-Man Team-Up coming out. Now, last week, we saw the last issue of Superior Spider-Man. This week, I believe we see the first issue of Peter Parker's Return in Amazing Spider-Man number 1. I believe that's this week. Let me just double check. But also coming out is Superior Spider-Man Team-Up, the latest issue of that, which is going to be set in the past and show a never-before-told team-up between Spider-Man and Doc Ock, and Doc Ock being the person who took over Spider-Man's body during the entire Superior Spider-Man series.
I was wrong. Amazing Spider-Man is not coming out this week.
Yeah, I was wrong about that. So no Amazing Spider-Man, but you do get Peter Parker as Spider-Man in the new issue of Superior Spider-Man Team-Up. Now, and also, Marvel's big crossover is starting off. It's big summer crossover, Original Sin. Basically, Uatu the Watcher is going to die, and someone is going to steal his eyes when they kill him.
Right, and this is a great setup for a lot of stories that you could read as part of the series that you won't necessarily need to be like fully enveloped in the crossover, you know?
Yeah, no, I kind of wish I read Justice League that way and skipped for the main Forever Evil. But I did that also with Fear Itself, where I read the Loki comic but kind of skipped the rest of Fear Itself. Yeah, I'm fine with doing that, especially if it's not like, if you're buying the regular series and you're only getting part three of like a 16-part story.
Yeah, exactly.
I like when they keep it semi-separate.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to that crossover. It sounds like it should be really cool though.
And the issue zero is written by Mark Waid with art by Jim Cheung. I like Jim Cheung's art a lot.
Same here, same here. I'm also looking forward to it's a James Robinson week, so I'm excited for that. We've got All New Invaders number 4. We've
Yeah,
also got
I've yet to read All New Invaders. Oh, and Fantastic Four is coming out this week too, right?
We've got Fantastic Four number 3, and we also have Saviors number 4 coming out from Image.
Yeah, Saviors has been great. Have you caught up on that?
I have. It's been really awesome.
Yeah.
I love the artwork and writing. There's nothing not to love about that series.
Yeah, J Bone is just fantastic. He never seems to disappoint. I highly recommend people hunting down the first three issue of Saviors and catching up in time for this week.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say he's underrated. I just not talked about. Nobody. No, I don't. I rarely hear people talking about J Bone, but he's a fantastic artist.
Yeah, that's a good point. No one's ever like, "Oh, that J Bone, he sucks."
Yeah.
But he is somebody who seems to fly under the radar a lot.
Yeah,
That
definitely.
might be because of the material he covers. He doesn't tend to do Batman or Wolverine.
Yeah, and when he does, I think it's like the kid-friendly stuff.
Right. Or it's the out there kind of stuff, like the Strange Tales kind of things. Let's see, what else do we have this week? Anything else coming out? I don't know. The Game of Thrones comic is coming out from Dynamite. They're up to the 20th issue of that. Have you ever seen the Game of Thrones comic?
No, I haven't. I've
I've
seen
seen
the Game of Thrones TV show.
the Game of Thrones comic. It's published by Dynamite. I've actually seen it on the rack at Barnes & Noble, which is weird because there's a lot of nudity in it, and it's shelved right next to Green Lantern. Like any kid could just grab it, and I'm amazed that there hasn't been a news story about some irate parent going like, "What are you selling in this store?" Because, and especially because the comic section at Barnes and Noble these days seems to be devoid of Marvel, so it's all DC, a couple of Dark Horse books, and then this Game of Thrones comic, wedged right in between the Flash and Green Lantern.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and it is from thumbing through it, it looks horrible. Like I don't understand why. If it's HBO or if it's just George R.R. Martin, why they didn't go to either Vertigo or Wildstorm or Marvel Max? Like DC and Marvel have the ability to put out a mature reader's comic and make it good. This just it looks very, very disappointing. I do not recommend getting any of your friends who are into Game of Thrones the Game of Thrones comic or collected edition or as a gift.
A lot of licensed comics, especially ones that deal with live action TV shows, I think have awful artwork. And I think a lot of it is it's hard to replicate the actors' faces and acting.
Right.
But I think on top of that, a lot of it is just some crappy artwork.
Yeah, it seems like they're just, hiring out whoever they could hire it out to do the comic. It's really, really unimpressive. Which is surprising because most of the Game of Thrones licensed merchandise is really good looking, so I'm surprised that the comic just seems to be like an afterthought.
Yeah, I wonder who that went through, if that's, HBO, kind of regulating that stuff, or if that, like if merchandise is from the TV show, that might be, QC'd by HBO, but
Right.
other adaptations, George R.R. Martin could be like, yeah, hey, you can do it. Cool,
He's like, I'm just gonna cash this check.
It is funny. I know a lot of people have read the books, and I know we've joked about it amongst friends about people wanting to spoil the TV show when right. you when they've already read the book. And I've also recently come across the people who have been like, oh, well, I've read the books. And my go-to line with it is always, aren't they like able, are you able to read them like really quickly, like they're on like a Harry Potter level? And then everyone's like, yeah, it is.
There's a certain irony about a guy hosting a comic book podcast making fun of the reading level of the people reading Game of Thrones novels. Oh, are those written at a Harry Potter level? Excuse me, I'm going back to my Superman now.
I think you're missing the point.
I think you're missing the point.
No, I think you're missing the point. The point of the joke is that they were acting better for reading it than
right.
watching it.
I see.
Well, you know, it's not really like, you know, a tough read or, you know, like, not better, but, like, smarter.
Yeah.
But,
well, the books go into much more detail than the TV show does. So I feel people who read the books, I haven't read the books, so I don't actually know how they feel. But I feel as if they feel like they're getting a deeper immersive experience. The same way I feel about The Walking Dead, in only because The Walking Dead comic is so far superior to the TV show.
Yeah, I think, but that's a totally different experience too. The TV show and the comic seem like parallel worlds.
Yeah, having never read the Walking Dead books, though, I totally feel the TV show is better than the books. I actually have no inclination to read the books. I just want to watch the TV show, and I'd hate to read ahead of the TV show because I feel like the TV show is doing things perfectly. Like, well, I don't want to know what happens in the future on the TV show.
Yeah, the books seem interesting to read on after a season is over because, you know, a lot of stuff goes on where I'm like, well, why did that happen? And, you know, we both have a friend, Nick, who has read most of the books, and he's able to say, like, oh, well, this happened because of this, and you go, oh, well, that was kind of interesting.
Right.
And so, I mean, there is part of me that does want to go back and read those things and, you know, kind of get a little bit more immersed in the cultures and the society of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, if you do want to read it, Game of Thrones, I do not recommend reading the comic book. The comic book is like the worst of both worlds in that it is not as deep and immersive as the novel, but it's not nowhere near as good an adaptation as the TV show. So if you'd really like to be disappointed and you'd like to read it quickly, get the comic.
Well, speaking of things we've read, what did you read this week, Billy?
Speaking of disappointing things, just kidding. I read Ms. Marvel number 3, which is my pick of the week. The series continues to impress. The art by Alfona is just tremendous. I love all the details that he puts into the panels. He has all these little jokes that have nothing to do with the story that he just puts into the background, like the name of stores and like signs in the windows and headlines on the news. It's great.
Yeah, there's a lot of detail put into the art, and I love his line work. It's pretty great. And I'm not sure who the colorist is on the book, but whoever it is works seamlessly with the line work on the book. I think the muted tones, everything is great in it. And the last page is quite the cliffhanger this issue.
Yeah, definitely it was. I really like that she's only turned into Carol Danvers so far. So we haven't seen her really transform into anybody else. Well, she's done it like a couple of times just for a panel or two, testing out her powers.
Yeah.
Whenever trouble calls, it's not like a Dial H for Hero situation. She just keeps turning into Carol Danvers.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think it's really talking about, you know,
like hero worship.
Hero worship and finding yourself.
Right. I can't, you know, there has to be an inevitable Carol Danvers appearance in this comic coming up soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanna read that because I think the dialogue that, you know, that would go back and forth would be great. It, you know, yeah. Just thinking about the first issue of the comic where she's talking about how cool her first outfit was, and even before she had this, you know, Captain Marvel outfit.
Right. Yeah. Now, let's see. Did you read Justice League this week?
I didn't.
It's
I'm saving that for my whole Justice League Forever Evil reread into reading for the first time.
Oh, right, because you're reading through Justice League over again.
Yes.
This issue is good, but a little disappointing in the artwork, which I can't believe I'm saying because it's Doug Monke, who I love.
Oh, really? Wow.
Whoever inked it, I don't have the inker's name in front of me, but the inker just did not service Monke's art correctly. It seemed a little muddled. It didn't have the crisp lines. I really like when he inks his own pencils, because he's a tremendous inker in his own right. So. And his pencils are his line work is so crisp. It was just lacking that in this issue. It seemed almost like the inks in Forever Evil. But the story itself was a lot of fun. It was Cyborg leading the Metal Men, who some of them weren't too happy about Cyborg being their leader, and were like a little weirded out. They were like, "What is this? This guy's like not a robot, not a human." They could make sense of him.
I saw a panel or two with Will Magnus in there, and I really like his redesign for the New 52.
Yeah, me too. He almost reminds me of Rick Jones.
Yeah, a little bit. I could see that.
They've definitely taken him from being this like eclectic but stodgy middle-aged scientist, and have turned him into a much a younger man without him being like Poochie from The Simpsons. Which, sometimes I feel bits of the New 52 are Poochie-ish. So now, what else did you read? Anything else?
I read Sinestro number one.
How'd you like that?
The art was really nice.
Does it rehash Sinestro's story, or is this all new material, like moving forward in a new direction?
This is all new material, all new direction. I'm not really caught up on the Green Lantern piece of the DC Universe, but it seems like, after he's left being a Green Lantern, and Liza Drake comes back to, tell him that the Sinestro Corps needs him, and basically it's about her getting him to reclaim the Sinestro Corps from Arkillo, and
Which I feel like he did already.
yeah, I thought I read that
Didn't he do that in Geoff
too.
Johns's run?
I thought no, well, I thought that, but he took it from Mongul.
Okay. I could have swore he took it from both of them.
Oof.
There's a lot of like deja vu in the New 52.
So it was okay. The stuff going on with like why he was like renouncing all rings and just
Okay.
leading a life, and I didn't follow it too well. Like I did, but I didn't. I didn't really get the motivation and why it was there. And there was a lot of there's a decent bit of telling and not showing.
Okay. So does he have the yellow ring again, or is that?
It ends. Spoiler alert with him
That's like saying,
using.
spoiler alert, Batman finds his Batarang.
Using his yellow ring again, and Lysa Drake has that she was probably the coolest part of the book.
Okay, cool.
So.
Cool. Yeah, and the other thing I did was catch up on The Walking Dead, which I'd said All Out War has been great. It started off a little slow, but great 12-issue epic. The first half of it's already collected. I definitely recommend people reading it. And depending on when you're listening to this podcast, the other big Robert Kirkman book, Invincible, is currently having a sale on Comixology. That sale should still be going on by the time this podcast comes up. So if you're one of the first people listening to the podcast, I highly recommend jumping into Invincible because it is terrific.
Yeah, I saw that too. I was thinking the first trade's only like $2.99, I think.
Yeah, and the first trade is terrific. I already described Invincible as terrific twice, but I'm going to go again. It's terrific. It's awesome.
Is Invincible incredible?
Oh, yeah, it is. Invincible is incredible.
Did you read anything
It's also
else?
in. That's all I got. Did I read anything else this week? I don't think I did. I bought a couple issues. I said I was going to read Iron Fist because you had talked it up so much, I actually bought it in print, not even digitally. I bought it in print in the store.
Did you page through it?
I paged through the first page. Yeah. I opened it. I said, I really want to sit down and read this. I'm actually looking at where it is right now, and I just didn't get a chance to read it yet. I'm going to have it read by next week. And I also bought but did not read American Vampire Second Season number 2. Number 1 was fantastic, and that's another book where I bought digitally, went to the first page, and I think I was falling asleep. Not because of the book, but just because it was late at night.
Yeah, I do that too.
It's probably a bad idea to read books about vampires right when you're going to go to bed.
Spooky.
Yeah. I'm prone to nightmares. So that's it for comics I've read. So now you had a question for the listeners, didn't you?
I did. So we, I mean, not me
and you.
Yes. Me and Sarah are getting married in the fall, and okay. So we were talking a little bit about how we were going to do the readings in our ceremony. Mm. And one of the things we were thinking about was like incorporating, you know, the things that we love in our lives into the, you know, the ceremony, and possibly like she loves Broadway musicals and taking the a passage from a musical and me taking something from a comic, and then probably the third one, like, doing something, you know, religious or something along those lines.
Okay.
And but I'm having a tough time finding a good passage from a comic book.
Ah, so you need a passage for a comic for your wedding greeting.
Right.
All right.
And So
listeners, if you're out there and if you've gotten married or you're planning on using if you know of a good passage that would make for a good wedding reading, leave it in the comment section of here, of this page right here on TuesdayNightMovies.com, the podcast page, or even tweet it at Dave. Dave, what's your Twitter handle?
At Dave Tomko.
Oh, at Dave, and that's DaveTomko. So yeah, get in touch with Dave and let him know some good comic book passages. I actually had a comic book reading at my wedding.
With Sandman, right?
Yeah, Sandman's really good for that kind of thing because it's almost it's prose like. A lot of comics, you could grab something from Amazing Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man Annual, where Peter and Mary Jane got married, or the issue of X-Men where Jean and Scott got married. The problem is a lot of that story is told through the art, and it doesn't make much sense when you're just reading it to somebody.
Yeah, those dialogue balloons are very tiny.
Yeah, there's not much there. But if anybody out there knows of a good comic book passage that would make for a good reading at Dave's wedding, write to us. Let us know what it is.
Yes. Yeah, I'm thinking I've got to investigate some Why the Last Man and maybe some Starman. I think there might be some good stuff in there.
Yeah, I think those text pieces at the end of the Starman omnibuses or omnibi might be a good place to look.
Right, I think you might be right with that, Billy.
Yeah. Now let's see so another big piece of news this week is that Earth 2 and World's Finest, two books that you read every month, might be coming to an end.
Possibly.
Word on the street.
That's a big rumor, or small rumor. We've got New 52, Future's End, which is a weekly series, and then along with that, we're going to have starting down the line is Earth 2, World's End. And the world's, unlike World's Finest, where the apostrophe is after the S, this is before the S, which means only one world is ending, which means Earth 2 is ending.
That's not cool.
Yeah, so, you know, it seems like in the title of that, they did combine both Earth 2 and World's Finest into this one title. And it leads me to believe that those two titles will be going away in lieu of a weekly series.
Right.
So it should be interesting. I know in World's End, which should tie into this, I believe. Mr. Terrific is a big player in that.
Okay.
We've seen him in a bunch of solicitations. Issue number 3's cover was just released, and he's in a gym working out, watching Batman Beyond. Not the animated series, but the character from the animated series in a surveillance way.
You don't have to go 5 years later to watch that show.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I do that too. I work out watching Batman Beyond. So it's interesting. I'm not sure if this is the same Mr. Terrific. He's got his Fair Play tattoo on his back instead of his biceps.
Interesting.
So it made me wonder if he was the same character. But DC has a history of moving tattoos around and taking them away.
Oh, yeah, they did that with Starman, didn't they?
Yeah, they did it with Roy Harper, too, but without any explanation.
Oh, really? Yeah, Starman, yeah. It made sense in story.
Yeah, no, they Devin Grayson gave him a tribal tattoo because of his, I think, Navajo roots, and he was adopted by the Navajo prior to being Green Arrow's ward.
Okay.
And, and then Outsider started and that tattoo disappeared.
Totally cool with him not having a tribal tattoo on his arm. He seems douchey enough in the New 52 without that.
Yeah. Well, it was wiped clean way before the New 52.
Okay.
So it should be fairly interesting. Oh, another thing that was a big bit of news is the series Grayson launching.
Yeah, now this is, Dick Grayson is not going to be in a superhero costume. He's joining like the CIA or something, right? He's going to be a super spy.
Yeah, much like Winter Soldier, and before all of them, Roy Harper. Everybody wants to be Roy Harper.
Yeah. I think just you.
I want to work for Checkmate and get a badass tribal tattoo on my bicep.
I'm going to start calling you Speedy.
And then I want to start wearing trucker hats.
Yeah. The trucker hat should be the easiest one to do. You live in South Jersey. Didn't they hand you one when you moved in there?
Oh. Regionalism.
Zing. So everybody wants to be Roy Harper. That's what I'm taking away from this Grayson series.
Yes.
Yeah, and it is. It's so Grayson stars Dick Grayson is not written by Devin Grayson, right?
Right. I don't think Devin Grayson is working in comics anymore.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I haven't heard her name in a while.
Yeah.
All right. And that's about all I can think of. I was looking around some comic book websites looking for some news, and nothing really shot out at me. Oh, other than Amazing Spider-Man 2 is opening up 2 weekends from now.
I'm going to be in Spain when it
I'm trying to convince my wife that's a good idea that we see it in Spain.
With subtitles? Well.
Yeah, I'm going to need English subtitles. That'd be very, very interesting.
So as I am doing this reread of the Justice League all the way up to Forever Evil, branched off in many directions. And now that I have gotten to the point of Trinity War, the precursor to Forever Evil, I've pretty much figured out which series are the best to read quality-wise.
And which is that?
All three current Justice League books. I would recommend the regular Justice League title, which reads great, going back and reading it without all the drama behind, like, oh man, continuity's gone and this and that. It really is a great story.
Yeah, you mentioned that in previous episodes, that it reads a lot better when you're not looking at it as how are they changing this compared to how it used to be.
Right, and Justice League Dark, once Jeff Lemire takes over, is great. Peter Milligan, before that, the initial run is okay, but, you know, nothing great. But once Jeff Lemire takes over, it really, you know, takes it up a notch. And Justice League of America, I thought, was a great read, too. Mm. But other than those three books, the backups in Sword of Sorcery, great. I said Sword.
I know. I wasn't going to point it out.
I was reading it, and the W really hit it.
Sword of Sorcery.
I call
the very famous comic book writer Mark Raid. So
this is true.
I think the over under on me mispronouncing a word on this podcast is always two in an episode.
But the backups, Beowulf and the Stalker. If they ever collect those, they don't now, but if they do, I would suggest taking a look at them.
I'm guessing those are two things that will never be collected.
Probably not, but, on the off chance that they're collected, they'll probably be in one of those DC Comics Presents soft cover collections. Grab it. They're worthwhile.
Yeah. Better than the main story?
Yes, wow. Definitely. Hands down. Better art. I like the writing a lot better. The art was serviceable, and so was the writing, but nothing really grabbed me in that Amethyst story. Mm. Demon Knights, awesome.
And that's part of your reread, Demon Knights?
Yeah, I had read the beginning of that series apart from this, but then I read it when it joined up with the Eclipso crossover.
Right.
And all of Paul Cornell and Robert Venditti's stuff is great.
Now, does that tie into Justice League Dark at all, or no?
It loosely does. I mean, Madame Xanadu is in there, the Demon, Vandal Savage, the Shining Knight. Nothing directly. I mean, with Eclipso and Madame Xanadu and the Demon, it all kind of, loosely connects. But it also ties into iVampire a little bit too.
It'd be really cool if one episode you only spoke in rhyme, like Etrigan.
No, it would not be cool.
I think it could be awesome.
I hate rhyming talk.
Oh really?
From Etrigan, actually.
Oh, I love it. I think that's like the best thing about his character.
Oh really? They don't do that in Demon Knights, which makes me like him better.
Oh, that makes me not want to read Demon Knights.
And the two other books that I would suggest is Hands Down Vibe. I enjoyed the heck out of the series. Yeah.
That was written by Jeff Johns, right?
It was, the first two issues were written by Jeff Johns and I think Jeff Katz. They wrote the Booster Gold series together.
And that was a limited series vibe, or that was an ongoing series?
It was an ongoing. It only lasts for 10 issues, so not a big commitment if you want to read it. But then Sterling Gates took over, and I enjoy his writing.
Cool.
Great series. Yeah. And Phantom Stranger, once Dan DiDio left.
Oh, interesting.
JM
DeMatic. Now, how close are you to being present with Justice League?
I am just starting Trinity War.
And you've read Trinity War before.
I have. I've read, so from here on out, everything up until Forever Evil, I've read before. Some of the ancillary stuff I haven't read before, and some of the stuff reading over again. I think you read week to week, and you go, oh, this is great. Oh, this was good. Oh, and you kind of rush through it sometimes just to fit it into your schedule. And this was this was a nice reread to see how massive in scope everything was, and how well or not so well the editorial and writing staff pulled that off.
I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on the Forever Evil issues of Justice League and Justice League America once you've read them, because I've read them already, and I have opinions, pretty strong opinions about them, but I'm going to wait. I don't want to muddle your judgment of it going into it, so I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until you read them to express what I thought about them. Well, but I definitely liked one series better than the other by a lot.
Well, I should probably be caught up to Forever Evil by the time it comes out.
Okay.
the way things are moving.
So yeah. Christmas, you'll be caught up to Forever Evil by Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
What comes first, Forever Evil or the 4th of July? Actually, Memorial Day is a good over-under. I wonder if it'll get delayed again. Maybe we might be seeing Forever Evil in June.
Yeah. Who's doing David Finch, right?
Yeah.
He might make it.
Yeah. He was at WonderCon this weekend, I believe, doing sketches for people.
Oh, really?
And it's like, oh, why aren't you drawing the series that you're supposed to be drawing? But maybe it's not his fault. Maybe it's the anchor's fault.
Well, I know like some of the publications that we do at my job when you miss a deadline, you get thrown off schedule by a lot because, you know, the printer has, you know, they have a whole schedule, you know, 24 hours a lot of time of the press running, and then they have to find another slot to put you back in.
So, I see.
You know, like they could have been like a week off, but like because of like, you know, the printer's schedule, it might, you know, bump them back 3 weeks or whatever, however it works. So, you know, I'm sure when one person is late, it's, you know, just a snowball effect. So
yeah, a big chain reaction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast for this week. Thank you all for listening. And you can listen to past episodes at BrightAtTuesdayNightMovies.com. Just click on the comics tab, and that will bring up all the episodes. And you can also find us on iTunes. So we look forward to seeing everyone listening to us next week. We're going to be talking about more comics. And, you know, for myself, Billy, and my partner, Speedy. Did you put the arrow in your head as you said that? You were
I was tipping my trucker hat.
Oh, I saw it inverted. I thought you were putting your hand like into your head. You're like pachoo.
Pachoo. That's
that was Speedy.
Is that the pachoo of my arrow or of my heroin needle?
Poor Speedy. All right, everybody. Have a good week. Read some comics. And please find Dave a wedding reading. Weddings are hard enough to plan on his own. Help him find a reading for it.
Help a brother out.
Yeah.
That's what Speedy would say.
You'll get some comic karma.
Yes. Pachoo!
Peace out, everybody. Bye-bye.